All right. Hello, everyone. This is Mark, the ballpark hunter. I'm also the regional correspondent for the website Stadium Journey. Check out our reviews at stadiumjourney.com. You need to know what you're going to get into before you go. So if you have any questions about parking, the neighborhood, go to stadiumjourney.com. And if you're checking out an Indiana State Sycamore game, a Seton Hall Pirates game, we'll tell you everything you need to know. My guest today is the GM of the Greenville Yard Gnomes of the Coastal Plain League, Michael Villafana. Michael, welcome to the show.
Thanks, Mark. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, well, Michael, the Yard Gnomes, kind of exciting time. You're starting a new team, new logo, new name. How are you feeling the anticipation heading into the season a few months from now?
Yeah, absolutely. It's been a long time coming, I think, to say the least.
Yes.
I was hired on as the general manager back in October, and the whole name process took a long time. And I think we came upon the name Yard Gnomes after we had about 350 name submissions
Yes.
from everybody in the local region, and we narrowed it down to five. With Garden Gnomes actually being one of the finalists. And we decided that we had to twist the name a little bit, make it a little bit more baseball centric, throw the name Yard in there,
Yeah.
and make it the Yard Gnomes. So Greenville is home of East Carolina University, and they're the Pirates. So everything in this town is pirate themed. And we wanted to maybe not necessarily go a direct pirate tie, but after doing some research on what a gnome is and what gnomes do, they're known to kind of protect buried treasure. And obviously, you got treasure and pirates, and that kind of went together. And after all that, and putting together a logo, it really came together.
Yeah, it definitely makes sense. I was doing some research too, and these gnomes are buried underneath the ground, and they live there for hundreds of years, protecting the booty or the gold
Yep.
from the pirates. And I think booty and scallywags were other names you guys were tinkering with.
It was, yep.
Yeah.
So actually the top three were Garden Gnomes, Scallywags, and Booty. So it was really kind of, you couldn't go wrong with any of those names. Obviously Booty may be a little bit more scandalous, and
Yes.
Scallywags is actually thrown around a lot here in Greenville with the tie to ECU. So really couldn't go wrong with any three of the names.
Yeah. So when you guys finally picked Yard Gnomes, what was the immediate reaction? Was it on a percentage scale? Was it 90% favorable, 50-50? Was it the right call?
Yeah, I think it was probably 75% favorable,
Nice.
25% unfavorable. And we know that going into releasing a new team name, you're not going to please everybody. But I think for us, a huge part of our story was being able to tell the public how we came to that name, and then we were able to tie different things into the logo that relate to whether it's ECU or relate to Greenville. Within the logo, there's skull and crossbones
That's right.
on the bat of our mascot, which is actually in the shape of North Carolina. But there's skull and crossbones where Greenville is on the map. The color yellow that we used is the actual ECU colored yellow. Same with the green. The green is the official city color of the city of Greenville. So there's different things that we were able to tie into the logo that we thought encompassed kind of what Greenville was all about.
Yeah, I know I was reading the logo that it was designed by Brian Bagley, who's a New Jersey artist, and the wording of Yard Gnomes was the same font for the old Greenville Greenies minor league baseball team. And then you're talking about the X, you're talking about the shape of North Carolina, the gold and the green has significant. I love when you hear these stories about logos, how it's not like we just pick these colors because we like them. They mean something. And hopefully that resonates with the fans across Greenville and the surrounding communities.
Absolutely. I think
Very.
that was certainly important to us, was to make sure that Greenville had a sense of a part of each part of the logo. And I think that was super important to us.
Yeah, and I know Paul Lucas from UniWatch. Those are his favorite colors, green and gold. So
yep.
I'm sure he gave you guys a thumbs up. Awesome, awesome. What was the other question I had for you? So you guys are called the Yard Gnomes. Now, if I'm coming out to the ballpark this year, which is, you know, going through some major renovations, what kind of themes am I going to see? Am I going to see a lot of gnomes walking around? Are we going to have like collector gnomes planted in the grass from here, from throughout the stadium? What's that imagination going to look like?
Yeah, for sure, for sure. I think we're still kind of developing what the game day atmosphere is going to look like. By no means do I think there's going to be gnomes laying around the complex as you walk through, but our goal is to make sure that every fan that walks through our gates is going to be entertained from the moment they walk in to the moment that they leave. So we're going to rely heavily on game entertainment, whether it is our mascot, whether it is even our usher staff, whether it's music and tying in our theme of the night. So for instance, I know we're going to try to do kind of a boomers night, a 90s night, and a new school night. Those are three musical themes that
I like the 90s.
Yeah, there you go. we're hoping that those musical themes can kind of hit all different parts of the market. And we're going to try to incorporate fun and entertainment as much as possible into our game day atmosphere.
Yeah, I mean, that's very important. And, you know, I'm not too familiar with the Greenville area, but what's the closest minor league or Coastal Plain League to you guys? I mean, is this something that's really going to keep people home?
Yeah, so the closest CPL team is the Wilson Tobbs, okay. And they're about 40 minutes, 45 minutes away from
I like Wilson.
From here. Yep, and then the closest affiliated team is about 45 minutes away. So similar distance, different direction, yeah. But they're actually being relocated to Spartanburg, South Carolina. Gotcha. So they're going to be kind of going away after this season.
Okay, good. Yeah, that's what I always said about North Carolina. You are not more than an hour, 45 minutes from a baseball team. You guys are spoiled out there. I live in Indianapolis, and you know we do have some baseball teams you can get to pretty quickly, but not at the caliber that you guys have. And I'm sure the weather is nice enough today. You could probably play a game, correct?
Absolutely. It's low 60s today. So yeah. No complaining from a Minnesotan myself.
Yeah. No, yeah. Compared to what it's like in St. Paul, Minnesota, where you used to work.
Yep. Yep. Exactly.
One of my favorite ballparks is CHS Field. I love the imagination that those guys have up there. Are you bringing any ideas from St. Paul to Greenville?
Yeah, absolutely. No, I think I learned a lot in my time in St. Paul, especially from the promotional standpoint and how to keep fans entertained. So I have nothing but respect for everybody in St. Paul. Sierra Bailey, who's their director of game entertainment or mm-hmm. whatever her title is now. She's got a bunch of different titles, but she's top notch and knows the ins and outs of fan entertainment and keeping people engaged.
Yeah. Yeah, very nice. And then getting back to the name really quick, I forgot to add this later. Here are some other names that people didn't like. Savannah Bananas. Montgomery Biscuits. Those are two names people hated, but yep. I'd be hard to find somebody who does not like them now. So I think you definitely have that awesome baseball name, and it's a type of logo and it's a type of a design that, you know, folks out in California, they're going to want to buy a cap or get a jersey. Have you seen an increased interest outside of the area for your merchandise?
Yeah, no, we definitely have. And a huge part of that is the hat collectors. I think those are the people that we're hearing from most often. And we're hoping that we'll be able to continue to roll out even more hat options as we get closer to the season.
All right. Sounds good. Yeah. My wife is, having girls' night tonight, so she's quietly telling me I'm going out. I'll be back.
No worries.
It's on mute. Yeah, we're not. I'm not a professional guy here. You know, I'm trying to. I'm in between studios right now. It's just that's how it is. So, next question I want to ask you about is Guy Smith Park, the WPA Stadium. That's going through some major renovations. How's that looking right now? Almost there? Not quite. Little bows and ribbons.
Yeah, so about $1 million in renovations is going into the ballpark. So it's a good chunk of change. We just finished up phase one of the two-phase project. So phase one essentially was bringing in the foul territory about 15, 20 feet. So when I first got to the ballpark, it was Oakland A's style foul territory. So it was important for us to be able to provide a good atmosphere and venue for our fans, that we bring in that foul territory to bring them closer to the field of play, as well as bringing more kind of out of bounds territory that we can do our concessions and our merchandise and our group spaces and added bleachers that we're bringing in. So phase one of the project, which is bringing in those fences, is done. There's actually a high school team, J.H. Rose High School, that plays there. So their first home game, I believe, is next week. So they'll kind of be playing at that field for the early springtime here, as we kind of work on phase two of the project, which is kind of completing the space that was taken away from those new fences.
Okay. So everything scheduled for opening night, correct?
Yep. Everything will be done by opening night, hopefully well in advance of that. But I'm sure, as you know,
yeah,
it really depends on the project, and things can always go wrong, but they're optimistic it'll be done by opening day.
No, I'm with you too. I remember going to when they first opened their ballpark in New Jersey, it wasn't completed. I don't think they had part of the roof up, but you know, we still wanted to go, and it didn't bother us. So, you know, I'm sure fans will think the same way. Because, I mean, this stadium has a lot of history. It's been around for, 85 years coming in. You know, it's a WPA stadium. You know, when you say WPA, that's an old historic stadium. Were there any problems with the renovations that you ran into, or any discoveries, if that makes sense?
Yeah, not that I can think of. The ballpark has been kept in great shapes by the people at the Greenville Parks and Rec, and it's honestly, for being that old, it's in extremely great shape. The grandstand behind home plate is immaculate, and I think that it's really going to provide for a great CPL venue for many years to come.
Yeah, I mean, that's what I like. I know Wilson. If you went back to like 1991, that stadium was falling apart, and they went through renovations, you know, several years ago that transformed that. So you like to see these old 1930 ballparks, you know, still provide a lot of life and a lot of baseball. So that's great to hear, because, you know, a lot of people that listen to the podcast, a lot of people that I talk to, you know, they're making plans right now, and they're like, oh, cool, a new ballpark in Greenville. Like, connect that with a visit to Wilson or Charlotte, and, you know, make a whole week plan. So they're very excited. So how are ticket prices looking right now?
Yeah. So currently we have season ticket plans and mini plans on sale. So we're going to have 30 home games here for this inaugural season. Our season ticket plans are going for $360 per seat. And that's going to be in the grandstand behind home plate. So that's going to be guaranteed shade for every single game. And then we also have mini plans. So we have, and this gets a little confusing, but we have 4 5-game mini plans.
Yeah.
And those go for $60 per seat. So $12 a game.
Yeah.
And then we also have 1 4-game mini plan, that goes for $48 per seat. Same price point of $12.
Yeah. So what's the cheapest ticket? Let's say I'm visiting and I'm like, hey, I'm just here for the night, let me get a ticket.
Yeah, so our single game plan, so we'll have bleachers down the first baseline. Those are going to be $10 per ticket. And then any seat in the grandstand will be $12 per ticket.
Okay, that's cheaper than a movie these days.
It is, and we wanted to be an affordable option in town. We know that even though we're going to be one of the very few kind of entertainment sports venues during the summer here in Greenville, we still wanted to be affordable on that end and be able to have people from all over the town be able to come and afford a game, and not just feel like they have to come spend all their money on a ticket and not be able to buy food and beverage or merch item, things like that.
Well, I mean, you almost have to, because there's a lot of people that I talk to that said, I'll drive the extra half hour or 40 minutes because I know what I'm going to get at this ballpark.
Yep.
You know, I believe I was talking to a gentleman out in Lehigh Valley. He said, I'd rather come out to the Iron Pigs than go to a Wilkes-Barre Rail Riders game because it's better value, it's better food, it's a well-run program. So, you know, those things do matter when you look at the ticket prices. And then I guess that leads us into the next area. What is the food going to look like? Beer? Are we going to have some good old North Carolina style barbecue? Any wacky food that you guys are inventing?
Yeah. So that's actually a work in progress. So, our goal was to run our own concessions, year one, just due to some of the budgeting things. I think we had to cut that out. So, we're going to try to work with a lot of the local food trucks here in the area provide concessions for the first season. We will have a half of a concession stand that we will operate, ourselves as an organization, where we can hopefully do hot dogs, hamburgers, have your traditional peanuts, popcorn, pretzels, nachos, things like that.
Yeah.
But we will for more of those specialty items, hopefully some barbecue, like you mentioned, we're going to rely on the food trucks, to kind of supplement our concession offerings.
Yeah. Cause the barbecue there, that style is more the pig with kind of like a vinegar based sauce, correct? If I recall.
Yep.
Okay.
Yep.
What's your take on that? Obviously, you're from Minnesota and I'm from New Jersey, two places that, you know, are not barbecue places, but have you learned to like it? Is it something you say, hey, this is actually pretty good? Or
honestly, I am a fan of all barbecue. Like you can put any sauce, any sort of meat in front of me. I will, I'll eat it and like it. So, I'm just a huge barbecue fan, as a whole. So, when I had a chance to move down here to North Carolina, I was like, you know what, feed me all the barbecue. And I'm trying to hit all the barbecue spots in town as well.
Oh yeah. No, that's something I try to do, but then your stomach says, stop. Let's do a salad today.
Yeah.
It's too much. Yeah, I did that when I was in Texas. I thought I was going to hit all the barbecue places in Austin. I went to one and I couldn't eat for the next few days. It was that good, that filling. So
yeah,
I'm definitely with you there. So your role as the GM right now, what else are you planning for? We talked about the stadium, the logo. I read somewhere that you have most of your players already signed. What are things you're doing right now at the end of February, beginning of March?
Yeah, so a huge push for us right now is not only corporate partnerships, but also season tickets and mini plan pushes. So my day-to-day role is really trying to form those relationships with not only the city and community leaders, but also business leaders that are here in Greenville and the surrounding areas. We've had nothing but support since the moment that this team was announced. And we're just trying to reach out to as many people as possible to kind of continue that support. And we want to be able to be kind of a staple in the community, especially during the summer months. And if companies can understand the value of partnering with us, and whether it is having their sign in the outfield or being the sponsor of one of our on-field promotions in between innings, or being an interactive sponsor where they're the sponsor of home runs and they're getting a PA read during the game and a shout out on social media, things like that. I think we're trying to find the right partnerships and we want to be able to help these businesses thrive in the Greenville market. And then also on the season ticket and mini plan side, it's really just trying to push out the information as much as possible. I think being a new team, the biggest hurdle is to try to get people to know that you're around, know that you exist, and to know what you have to offer. So I think that's our biggest hurdle, and we're trying our best to get our information out there and kind of show these packages that we have available and kind of show the affordability of all of our packages.
Yeah, that's one thing I talk to a lot of people is that first season you're trying to get the team going because you didn't have a true off season.
Correct.
Yeah, so like I think next year when you have that true off season, it's going to be like, wow, this is a lot easier. You're going to look back at this era and say, "Woo, that I don't want to do that again."
Absolutely.
Yeah, but it's also, you know, it's exciting to start your own, you know, to be part of your own team and be the GM and say, hey, I was the first GM and, you know, I helped start things off and, you know, maybe you set some precedents and maybe you start some traditions that the next GM will carry on. Because, you know, who knows what your future's like, you know, you may be running a baseball team one day in the major league. So it's something there. So We talked a little, so we, you know, obviously talking a lot about the Yard Gnomes, but let's talk a little bit about you. You grew up in Minnesota, went to Seton Hall University in New Jersey, and then were the St. Paul Saints your first team you worked for, or were you anywhere else?
Yeah, so I had interned with the Saints twice during college.
Nice.
So after my sophomore and junior year, I believe it was sophomore and junior year. So I was familiar with the organization, but I had a chance to go back as a ticket sales executive once I graduated college. So I think I started in December of 2019. Didn't have a ton of sales experience actually going into that position. A lot of my background was on the marketing promotions,
Oh,
game
yeah,
presentation
I
side.
know, I know.
But I felt comfortable going back to an organization that I knew the people, I knew kind of how they ran their business. And I knew that they would take the time and energy to invest in me and to put me through sales training and make sure that I'm put into a position to succeed. So I ended up staying there for 3 years. One of those years being the primary year of COVID. So that was kind of crazy because we actually ended up playing our home games in Sioux Falls, South Dakota. So that was kind of an experience I'll never forget. And to be in the room where those discussions were being had on how we can pull this off and whatnot, I think was something that learned a lot about. So I was there in St. Paul for 3 years, was promoted to ticket sales manager my third year there, and then had an opportunity to go to the Worcester Red Sox, which is the AAA affiliate of the Boston Red Sox. There I was director of corporate partnership services, so I managed about 45 corporate partners, kind of their day-to-day contact, ensuring that everything that's part of their contract and agreement was being executed from a nightly standpoint.
Yeah. All right. So the Worcester Red Sox, one of the ballparks I haven't been to yet, but I hear great things about Polar Park. The president and the president of Stadium Journey, Paul Baker, doesn't live too far away from there. He's a big Red Sox guy.
Absolutely.
How awesome is Polar Park?
It's a great ballpark.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's so well done. They tie in a lot of elements from different ballparks. The designer, she's done everything from renovations to Petco Park to not only Fenway Park to I'm missing a bunch of ballparks, but mm-hmm. ballparks all over the country. She's had a huge part of that. And she put her magic onto Polar Park as well.
Speaking about the Woo Sox, I just ordered a bunch of discounted merchandise from their website. I mean, they have hats for $4.25.
Yep.
I went a little bit overboard. I don't know what I'm gonna do with all this Woo Sox stuff, but it was just so cheap. And by the time this podcast comes out, perhaps a lot of that stuff would have been sold. So we'll see that. St. Paul Saints, that's one of my favorite places, along with the Durham Bulls. Love that ballpark as well. And Sean Arison has been on the show a few times. And we usually, when he comes down in Indianapolis, I always get a press pass for those games. I say hi to him. And I remember when I would go up there to St. Paul, he always had his George Foreman grill with his chicken and rice. Because I asked him, hey, I said, hey, Sean, what's something good to eat here? He's like, I just eat chicken and rice. I have no idea. And then I see him with his George Foreman. I'm like, okay, he's actually legit here. I hear you.
That's his thing. And Sean's one of the best in the business.
Oh,
so,
yeah. I like Sean. I like Sean.
He's awesome.
He's a good guy. All right. Well, before I get you go, I assume you have been to some ballparks around the country. What are some of your favorites? Hidden gems or, you know, just ones that you're like, hey, this is one of the best places I've been to.
Yeah, that's a great question.
Even town ballparks, if you want to add those in.
Sure. Yeah, I think for me, I'll start biased. From a major league standpoint, I think Target Field in Minnesota is one of the best ballparks.
Okay. I'm not going to argue with you.
Yeah,
I like it too.
In the country, I think they just did a very, very good job of designing that ballpark. Outside of Target Field, I would say Wrigley. You can't go wrong with Wrigley and kind of the history.
Yeah, it's hard not to.
Exactly. Yeah. So I think they've done a good job of kind of building around the ballpark there with Wrigleyville and whatnot. From a minor league standpoint, trying to think. Where have I been? I will say so the Durham Bulls do own us. So they're part of our ownership group. I have not been to a game yet at their ballpark. I'm looking forward to doing that here.
No, you're gonna have fun. You're gonna have fun.
Yes. So but from the couple times I've been there in the last few months, it looks like a gorgeous ballpark, and I'm certainly looking forward to getting to a game there.
Yeah, because you're just, you know, how long have you been in Greenville for? How many months has it been?
Yeah, I've only been down here in Greenville for about 5 months.
Okay. And so you're just trying to get to know the area a little bit and make those connections, make those friends. So
absolutely.
Yeah. But I tell you, you know, as the GM of a baseball team, you may not have a lot of time to get to some of these ballparks. Obviously, maybe in August and September you will. So definitely take advantage, you know, set a goal and say, hey, I'm going to, you know, visit a ballpark like Wilson. I love that stadium. I think they did a nice job with the renovations there. That's always a good time. And you know, I'm sure your ballpark's going to be a lot of fun. I like those old ballparks that are getting new life. And North Carolina seems to have a lot of them. And they never knock them down. Rather than like in New Jersey where I grew up, they knocked down all the old ballparks. They said, screw it, we're done with this. And you know, we're left with nothing. And then they knocked down the new ballparks. They built a bunch in the 1990s and early 2000s. They knocked those down too. All right. Well, anything else you want to say about the Yard Gnomes? You're trying to convince somebody to check you guys out this year. What are they going to expect?
Yeah, absolutely. I think for us, what the message we want to push is we're going to be your local option that's going to provide that for a family affordable fun. And I know I said this earlier, but like we want to make sure that people are entertained from the that's moment true. They walk through the gates through hopefully they're leaving with a smile on their face as they leave. So I know the Savannah Bananas are kind of the hot topic right now. Yes. And we're definitely not going as full Savannah Banana, but if we can kind of recreate a little bit of the magic that they've kind of brought into the sports industry, I think we're doing something right. And that's certainly my goal as general manager. And I know how, just based off of how baseball crazed Greenville is, I know we're going to be supported and hopefully we'll be continually supported for many years to come.
Yeah, no, you're absolutely right. I mean, the Savannah Bananas, it's almost hard to do what they do because you're in a league. You're in the Coastal Plain League. You just can't just make up your own rules. Yep. You can, and then you're going to have to leave the league. But, you know, you gotta go by the bylaws, and you gotta you know, play other people. And the Savannah Bananas, to me, that is truly one of the craziest stories in sports history.
It is.
You know, they were part of
the Coastal Plain League. So it's brought up quite often, but obviously they're off to their own thing now. And
I think they signed a deal with the devil. They're having too much success. I mean, it's like next year they're going to be playing on the moon. I mean, it's insane. It is insane. Yep. Or they're going to be playing over in Japan or London. They're going to be playing they're going to go to London and everybody's going to go crazy for baseball and they're going to become a baseball nation. Because the Bananas are playing. Yeah, I saw them in Indianapolis last year, and they hooked me. I sat down, was trying to – I mean, usually when I go to a baseball game, I walk around and take pictures and check things out. But, no, I was sitting down because I didn't want to miss the next thing. So they definitely found a way. All right. So, Michael, thank you for coming on the show. Where can we find you on social media, website?
Yeah, so you can follow our social media. So Twitter, we're at Gnomes Baseball. That's kind of where we'll provide our day-to-day updates. But you can also follow us on Facebook at Greenville Yard Gnomes. And then also our website, which will be brand new probably in the next week or so. But if you go to gnomesbaseball.com, that's where you'll be able to find our website. Everything from ticketing information to our upcoming promotional schedule, which should come out next week, and everything in between.
All right. And then one more thing, is that the uniforms in the back? Is that a picture of the uniform?
It is the uniform in the back. Yeah. So we got our,
look at that bad boy.
Our road jersey, but we got a little yellow top there.
Pullover. Is that going to be with a white bottom, all yellow?
We're actually going all yellow.
Oh, yellow. Okay. A little all banana yellow, theme there. Yeah.
Yep.
Love it. Love it.
Yeah. So we'll. Got a yellow road jersey, and then we got a white home jersey, so all white.
Perfect. That makes sense. I like that. I like when you bring, I like when teams bring back sometimes, and they bring back the yellow instead of a gray jersey. If it was up to me, I'd get rid of gray jerseys.
Yep. I hear
Yellow,
you there.
sky blue, that's how we go. Yeah, if I was GM or an owner of a team. So, all right. Well, perfect. Michael, thank you for coming on. I appreciate it. And best of luck this year. And we'll be keeping tabs on how the Yard Gnomes are doing this year.
Awesome. Sounds good. I appreciate your time, Mark.
All right, you too. Take care.
Let's see ya.
All right, that was Michael. Michael from the Greenville Yard Gnomes. I'm looking through my notes. Villa Fauna. Villa Fauna. Yeah, that was a great conversation. Kind of short, kind of sweet. I know Zach Beeson doesn't like when my podcasts go over 45 minutes. And if you do hear me say that, please contact me. That's how I know you listen to me. I should give out awards. I should give out prizes where I just say the magic word is love. Tech, call me with the magic word love within 4 minutes and 15 seconds, and you'll win a trip for two to Atlantic City. No, that's not going to happen. All right. So I think we talked about everything. We talked about the ballpark. We talked about his job, the logo, the names. We talked about the Savannah Bananas because I cannot do a podcast without talking about that team. They're everywhere. But a little bit more about the logo. ECU Pirate Gold, green for Greenville. The bat has an X on it because that's what pirates are. He said the beard of the gnome is shaped like North Carolina. The font of the word Yard Gnomes is designed after the Greenville Greenies team that played from 1928 to 1951. And I tried to look up the Greenville Greenies logo. I couldn't find it. Not that teams had logos back then, but they did have like jersey fonts. And I just like when somebody creates a logo or a word mark and it's like, well, this is why I did it. Like Alexander Fish, when he came up with the Ottawa Titans logo, he based that on the Ottawa Giants logo of like 1951, 1952. So when you hear those cool stories, it's a lot of fun that somebody took. Oh yeah, here it is, Greenies. Oh yeah. I'm looking at the Ebbets Field flannel. Well, yeah, I'm glad I just, typed in Greenville Greenies. Yeah, here it is. That's the same type of logo. Good job. Good job. So, folks, if you are visiting North Carolina, Wilson, Kinston, Zebulon, or Durham, I mean, you're not terribly far from Greenville. So check out their schedule, and you might be able to get a game in. If you do, let me know how it was. Give a shout-out to Michael. Say that you heard him first on the Ballpark Hunter podcast. And before I go, I just want to do a little kind of that clarification. But last week's episode, we were talking about those baseball jerseys, and they were hideous. Hideous. And then last week, the pants, which we didn't even talk about the pants. We just mentioned that the pants don't are not tailored. If you tuck your shirt in, the shirt flap shines through. I'm like, what else are these jerseys going to do? Are they going to shrink when you wash them? Are the numbers going to peel off after like a half a season? Is that color blue going to fade to a sky blue? I mean, what the heck's going on with these jerseys? Well, this is worse than like the Tucson Toros when they had their jerseys. Those ridiculous, crazy jerseys they had in the early 80s that were like multicolor. And it was supposed to be blue, but then when they washed it, it turned into like some kind of beige color. Like, what the heck? You can't figure out how to make a jersey. And then I'm looking at like leagues like Major Arena Soccer League or even like the Indoor Football League. And they're figuring out how to make jerseys that don't look stupid. Come on. What's the matter with you? Remember that song? I'm going to date myself here. Well, I'm not going to date myself. It came out about 30 years ago. It was called Funk Dat by Sagat. Come on, man. How come every time I go on a website, I gotta pay $150 for a jersey that looks like it came from a flea market? What you mean? That number's gonna peel off after a couple washes. Funk that! Boom, 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 boom. Look that up. Funk, funk. Not FUCK. Funk. Like bring in the funk. Dat, DAT. Saget, SAGAT. Sagat. Look that up. That's a great song. Look that up, and then once you find out how great that song is, or maybe you don't like the song, send me a tweet. Tweet something out to me, and let me know you heard it and you're down with Sagat. So, anyway, so hey guys, I appreciate you listening to the podcast. There are many great podcasts out there that talk about baseball logos, that talk about baseball teams, that have really great conversations with folks. I encourage you to listen to as many as you can, especially if you drive into work, you are visiting a ballpark of your own, or if you just like listening to podcasts to calm you down. We're not as gloom and doom as your true crime podcasts, but hopefully you enjoy that. So join me next week where I will be live from the hurdy-gurdy. No, I won't be at the hurdy-gurdy. Next week, who's my guest going to be? Let's find out here. I actually have it lined up, but I want to make sure I got the name right because I had to change somebody. So, unfortunately, when that happens, that happens. All right. Next week, my guest will Brie. Will Brie. I'll bring some Brie cheese. Next week, my guest will be Brian Spagnola. He is the GM of the Amsterdam Mohawks of the Perfect Game League. He will be my guest. Hopefully that works out, unless something happens. Who knows? Maybe he cancels. But he is set to schedule for this week, and he will be my next guest. And then after that, we're going to have Mark Witt from CAN USA Sports. He's going to talk a little bit about a team called the Niagara Falls Americans. They're a new team also in the Perfect Game League. He was on here before to talk about Elmira and Batavia. So this will be his second time on the show, and he'll be behind. Let me see. I don't think I've ever had anybody else on here three times. I think two times. He'll be tied with like Spencer Collins, Zach Beeson, Logan, and a few others. So join me for that. And hey, guys, baseball season's coming up. In fact, it is baseball season in somewhere in this great wide world of ours. So I appreciate you listening. Ballpark Hunter on Twitter, Ballpark Hunter on YouTube, Ballpark Hunter on Threads, Ballpark Hunter on Instagram, Ballpark Hunter on TikTok, and Mark Viquez on Stadium Journey. So check that out. And until next time, my friends, happy hunting. We'll see you next time. Take care.